on the agenda by posting a copy of the notice on the municipal building, municipal court, and the two municipal library bulletin boards, municipal website, providing a copy to the official newspapers of the township, and by filing a copy in the office of the township clerk in accordance with certification by the clerk, which will be entered in the minutes. The township continues to use a remote meeting format in an effort to mitigate the chance of exposure to COVID-19. As a part of the township's ongoing effort to slow the rate of transmission and avoid overwhelming our treatment centers. In order to make sure and clear record of the meeting can be made and that parties are heard in an organized fashion, all members of the public will be muted during the meeting. If a member of the public wishes to speak during any public comment portion, please raise your hand. This can be done either through the Zoom app or by pressing *9 on your phone. When it's your turn to speak, you will receive a prompt or a request to unmute. Please click on the prompt or press *6 on your phone to unmute. Upon being unmuted, you should begin to ask any and all questions you have. You will have 3 minutes to speak, at the conclusion of which you will be muted again, and the council or administration will respond as necessary. Should you have any further comments or questions, the town council is always available by email and phone, and you can always call the mayor's office during normal operating hours. Each member of the public shall have only one opportunity to speak during each public portion. As the technology does not allow us to know if there are multiple callers on an individual phone line or logged in user account, we ask that you wish to speak that you log in or dial in separately so that we can recognize you as a separate individual. Individuals may also submit written comments to the town clerk up to 48 hours prior to the meeting to be read by the town clerk during the public comment portion of the meeting. Said comments shall be limited to 3 minutes of reading. Thank you in advance for your patience as we continue to move the township forward during this health emergency. Mrs. Cedar, could you please call the roll?
Councilman Bullard? Councilman Bullard? If you could unmute yourself so we can hear you, your response.
There you go.
Councilman Bullard?
I think the record could reflect he's here. He's getting muted in and out.
Okay, I'll reflect that he's here. He's just not coming through when he unmutes himself. Councilwoman Cahill? Councilman Khan?
I am here. I believe Councilwoman Cahill will be joining us.
Councilman Rouse?
Here.
Councilman Shaw? Councilman Irwin?
Here.
Council President Lombardi?
Here.
Mayor Brian Waller?
Present.
Business Administrator Timothy Dacey?
Here.
Township Attorney Rajveer Goomer?
Here.
Deputy Township Clerk Kelly Mitch?
Here.
And I'm here, Melissa Cedar, the Township Clerk.
Thank you. Would everyone please join me in the flag salute?
Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic of America, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to start the meeting this evening with a brief moment of silence and prayer for the people in Ukraine. Thank you. We'll move to number 5, which are comments from the administration and council regarding adjournment of any matters on the agenda. Do we have any adjournment or comments or questions from council members at this time? Seeing none, we'll move to number six, which is the open public portion for comments regarding the consent agenda items only. Please remember, again, these are the public portion for only the consent agenda items. I will now open this to the public. If you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or if by phone by pressing star 9. When it is your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click the prompt or press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. So if you have any comments for the public portion for the consent agenda at this time, please open up now.
Council President, I'm asking the first individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ed Marsh. I'm at 113 Wyckoff Avenue. Regarding item 10C, what is this historic trust grant for?
Thank you, Ed Marsh, and I'll refer that to business ministers. Do you have any other questions, Ed?
I'd like to know how much is the grant and how did this come about?
Okay, so just give us all your questions and then we'll get someone to answer your questions, okay?
Yep.
So it's a grant that just about every year we get money for the Mettler House through the state Historical Grants Trust. This is for exterior work, accessibility work, putting in a stairwell to connect from River Road up to the Mettler House and some additional work. Overall, the grant is $150,000 from the state and I think an $85,000 contribution from the township.
Tim, can you clarify that a little bit? It was a little hard to hear you.
It's being used at the Mettler House. It's a grant from the New Jersey Historic Trust for exterior work for accessibility at the Mettler House, including a new staircase from River Road up to the Mettler House. And it's in conjunction with a couple of different ongoing projects that we've got. This is one phase of it. It's a grant worth about $150,000 from the state with a match from the town of, I believe, $85,000.
I think just the last part for that, I think it was $5,000 for the matching funds.
Okay. I hope that that answers your question, Mr. Marsh.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Good evening. It's Stacey Berger, 233 Ellis Parkway.
Good evening.
I'm wondering about item F, which is the emergency temporary budget. And I was interested in part because of the comment that Ms. Lombardi made at the beginning that residents can email council members. I noticed recently that the township launched a public information box with a cute little graphic, but that's not really the same as actually being able to directly reach council members by email, since you pay someone to do that for you to answer that email, as well as the council at PWAY, Council Piscataway NJ email. That's a paid position. So I'm guessing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you all get a stipend. I was wondering if the temporary budget has any impact on your stipend or your health benefits or the health benefits of our tremendous and wonderful township employees. If you could clarify that. And since I know I'm supposed to ask all my questions at once, I'm going to try to get them all in, and then if somebody can answer them, that would be great, because I was wondering if there's a best practices guide that you follow for the use of those stipends or what you spend them on, if there's any kind of guidance about how you should spend them, if you follow it, and whether you can actually decline that if you choose to not take that stipend. So if there's any information you can share about the relationship between the emergency temporary, I'm sorry, the temporary emergency budget resolution, if you could shed some light on that, and then address whether it impacts anything specific to the council members or our employees, and what the process for the stipend is. I'd appreciate it. I think that's everything.
Thank you. I don't think any of those items have anything to do with the letter F, emergency temporary budget, but I will have somebody clarify what that does mean, the emergency temporary budget. Thank you.
So the temporary budget, we're adding it for another month of funding for the current fund, the senior housing operating fund, the sewer utility operating fund, and the recreation utility operating fund. We are introducing the budget tonight. So we'll be adopting the budget within the next month or two, depending on the guidance from the state. So until the budget's adopted at each meeting, we'll continue to run on a temporary budget. The temporary budget has no effect on how we pay our bills. The way that it's done in New Jersey, everybody introduces their temporary budget in January. The governor gives his budget address in March. They release state aid numbers a couple of days after that, and then you start working on finalizing everybody's budget.
Thank you, Mr. Dacey.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hello, Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road. I'm just wondering, for 10A, is that the 2016 plan you're adopting, or is there a newer one that hasn't been posted to the county website yet? That was all I had.
Thank you. That's the authorization of the adoption of the Middlesex County Hazardous Mitigation Plan.
So it's the county has changed mainly language. They got rid of the Board of Chosen Freeholders and replaced it with references to the board, the county commissioners. So that was done throughout the whole plan. So they're asking everybody else to readopt it to the new plan with the new titles in it. I'm not sure when they approve it, if they approve it after all the towns do it, or we approve it first. I'm not sure, but this is, they asked us to do this. We reviewed it and agree with it.
Thank you, Mr. Dacey. But please try to talk into your mic. We're having difficulty hearing you clearly. Is there anyone else?
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
David Akins, Ambrose Valley Lane. Good evening.
Good evening,
Council.
David. Good evening.
Item number E for ECHO. Would you elaborate on that? I guess that's a bill 330.
Do you have any further questions, or that's the only one you have to ask this evening?
No, that's the only one I have to ask right now under this scenario.
On letter E?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Let me get that answer for you.
All right. This is Township Attorney. Essentially, what that resolution is, that it's just supporting a bill that's in the state Senate right now, that all the tax revenues from energy tax receipts used to be, well, when it was first implemented, was considered to meant to be funding reduction in property taxes, extra, et cetera, meant to move towards the municipality. That hasn't been happening. So there's a Senate bill to kind of restore that and help municipalities reduce their property tax levy on the residents. And so the council is passing a resolution to support that bill.
Thank you, Mr. Gamar. Do we have anyone else?
There are no other individuals with their hands raised at this time.
Thank you, Mrs. Cedar, and we'll now close the public portion for the consent agenda. Number 7 is an ordinance second reading exceeding the municipal budget appropriation limits and establishing a cap bank It will be open to the public. It's a resolution adopting ordinance. Mrs. Cedar, can you please read the ordinance?
Be resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Calendar Year 2022 Ordinance to Exceed the Municipal Budget Appropriation Limits and to Establish a Cap Bank, NJSA 40A:44-45.14, was introduced on the 15th day of February 2022 and had passed the first reading and was published on the 18th day of February 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on March 2, 2022, be adopted, passed, and after passage be published, together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2022-03.
Thank you, Mrs. Cedar.
Excuse me for one sec. I just want to mention that Councilwoman Gabrielle Cahill has entered the meeting.
Solely muted. Okay, I'll now open this to the public because this is a second reading. If you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or if by phone by pressing *9. When it is your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click the prompt or press *6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. If you would like to comment on the ordinance under second reading, please raise your hand now.
Council President, I'm asking the first individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Thank you, Mrs. Cedar. It's Stacey Berger again. I would like the answers to the questions that I asked previously or someone to even address them. I asked a pretty long list of questions and they were not really addressed. I had a very hard time hearing Mr. Dacey, so I appreciate Ms. Lombardi's request that he speak closer to the microphone because I only got kind of every other word. It was fading in and out. But if there is a presentation about the budget or more specificity that Mr. Dacey or any of the council members could offer about what
Mrs. Berger, this is
it's not Mrs. anything, but thank you.
Okay. This is regarding the second reading on the ordinance. I will have no problem answering that question for you at our next public portion of the meeting. Okay. We are actually now in the middle of the second reading on this ordinance. So it is open to the public for that comment
right,
portion only.
My questions are related to the budget, which are the budget items related to healthcare costs, which we all know are extraordinary, to the stipends and payment of those stipends to the council members, which I suspect are part of the budget, unless they're not part of the budget, which would be interesting, and also what the budget represents for taxpayers and residents in our community. So because there's no documentation that goes along with this, the public is a little bit at a loss to follow along. But if either the BA or someone else can answer the questions I had specifically about the stipend, that's great. If any of the council members could elaborate on what you spend the stipend on, that would also be very helpful because as far as I can tell, everyone continues to say that you can be reached by email, but Gene Wilkes gets paid to answer that email. And so I am very curious, and I think other people are. I'm sorry, Ms.
Berger, you're attempting to use the public portion for ordinances for your personal commentary. Please
I'm
focus
asking
on
a
the
question,
actual ordinance.
Mr. Boomer, I have 3 minutes. You want us to ask all our questions up front? I'm trying to be respectful of your process and ask my questions
please,
up front. Do you want?
Please keep them on topic.
Well, the topic is the budget. I'm sorry.
No, this isn't actually the budget. This is for an ordinance exceeding the municipal budget appropriation and establishing a cap bank.
Correct.
It would be very helpful if you published the actual resolutions that went along with them so that people.
This ordinance is on second reading. It's on the website. You can go ahead and retrieve it there.
Okay, then I will look for it there.
Thank you.
Council President, there are no other individuals with their hands raised regarding this agenda item.
Council President, if I may, just as a reminder to other people who might be listening for the first time and understanding what this is, this particular item is talking about extending the cap bank because the budget is not adopted yet. And there's usually a lag of time, I do believe, between state budgets, our budgets. So that's what this particular ordinance is about.
Thank you so much. And yes, we do this almost every year.
And Council President, if I could just briefly add.
Please do.
Despite the political-minded allegations of Ms. Berger, this information has all been available to the public. It's all available to the public. And anybody can see what's in the budget, what's been in the budget. Anybody can see what we've done year in and year out with respect to this exact issue. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. And I believe we have one more person waiting.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. You can go ahead and unmute yourself, please. I've asked you to unmute yourself. Go ahead.
David Akins, Ambrook Valley Lane. Item number 9. I'd just like to get a general idea of what...
Mr. Akins. I'm sorry for interrupting, but we're on number 7. We're doing the second reading to exceed the municipal budget. So we're working on the open public portion for number 7 at this time, okay?
Okay.
Great. Anyone else wishing to comment for the public portion for number 7?
Council President, there are no individuals with their hands raised.
I will now be closing the public portion for number 7. And may I have an offer, please?
Offer, Councilwoman Cahill.
Second, Councilman Khan.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Cedar, could you please call the roll?
Councilman Bullard. Councilman Bullard, can you unmute yourself so we can hear your vote, please?
He doesn't appear to be muted. I'm not sure why we can't hear him.
Maybe he has to hit that star button. Oh, there he goes.
Now he is muted.
There we go.
Councilman Bullard, may I please have your vote?
If he can't verbally do it, if there is video, if he could nod for yes.
Councilman Bullard, what's your vote?
Nod up and down for yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes, it looks like Jim is not muted on his end. I don't know if there's a technical problem on the back end. It looks like he seems...
Probably on his computer. I don't know if he has his audio turned on. Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Lombardi?
Yes, and the ordinance passes. Now we're moving to number 8, is an ordinance second reading, vacating all the right, title, and interest of the paper street known as Trent Place. It will be open to the public. It's a resolution adopting ordinance. Mrs. Cedar, can you please read the ordinance?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled, an ordinance vacating all of the right, title, and interest of the Township of Piscataway in the entirety of a paper street known as Trent Place, was introduced on the 15th day of February, 2022, and it passed the first reading and was published on the 18th day of February, 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on March 2, 2022, be adopted, passed, and after passage, be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2022-04.
Thank you, Mrs. Cedar. And we'll now open this to the public. And as I said, we are now on number 8. Okay, it's the second reading, and we're going to open the public portion for number 8, which is vacating all the right title and interest of the paper street known as Trent Place. If you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or if by phone by pressing star 9. When it is your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click the prompt or press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. If you would like to comment on the ordinance on number 8, please raise your hand now.
Council President, I'm asking the first individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hello, Councilwoman Lombardi. Pleasure speaking to you twice in 1 week. This is Evan Shigosky, 280 River Road, here in Piscataway. I was just wondering, I'll try to get all my questions up front. Where is Trent Place currently in the town? And what's the goal of putting this road in? Is it just better access, or is there undeveloped land around it? And if so, is there anything that's currently in the works to be built there? I yield my time.
Thank you very much, and I'll refer that to our business administrator, Tim Dacey.
So it's a little piece of land that is near the what goes up to the Fort Reading Railroad branch. And it's a couple thousand square feet altogether, and the township does not have a use for it, and it's unimproved. So we're vacating it.
I just think, Tim or Raj, you want to give a better explanation legally of what that means? I don't think Evan understands.
Yeah, so
knows what we mean by that.
Yeah, so Paper Street essentially is a piece of land that would have been improved into a street, never was. So the township owns it. It's usually intersecting or surrounded by a lot. So in this case, the township is never going to build a street there. They're vacating it so the property owners can, you know, have a more contiguous property, or the neighbors usually will split the piece of vacated paper street between them.
Thank you for that clarification.
I did know what a paper street was. I just didn't understand, and that is correct with the intent. Okay. Thank you for explaining the intent of vacating that on behalf of the town. I had misunderstood. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else?
There are no other individuals with their hands raised regarding this agenda item.
We are now closing the public portion for number 8. And can I have an offer, please?
Offer, Councilman Aaron.
Can I have a second?
Second, Councilman Villard.
Oh, he's back.
Thank you.
Did I get through?
Yes. You did. You sure did. Mrs. Cedar, may you please call the
Councilman Villard?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Lombardi?
Yes, and the ordinance passes. We'll now move to number 9, which is an ordinance second reading or authorizing the acquisition of certain property identified as Block 8002. Lot 1.02, which is at 251 Mettler's Lane. It's open to the public. It's a resolution adopting ordinance. Mrs. Cedar, can you please read the ordinance?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance Authorizing the Acquisition of Certain Property, identified as Block 8002, Lot 1.02, 251 Mettler's Lane, in the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, for public purpose pursuant to NJSA 20:3-1 et sec, was introduced on the 15th day of February 2022 and had passed the first reading and was published on the 18th day of February 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on March 2nd, 2022, be adopted, passed, and after passage be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2022-05.
Thank you, Mrs. Cedar. And this is a second reading. It is going to be open to the public. Remember, this is for number 9 only. If you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or if by phone by pressing star 9. When it is your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click the prompt or press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. If you'd like to comment on number 9, the ordinance under second reading, please raise your hand at this time.
Council President, I'm asking the first individual to unmute themselves. Go ahead.
David Akins, Ambrose Valley Lane. On number 9, what is the future use, if any, by taking, by doing this acquisition?
Thank you, Mr. Akins.
I'll take this one. This is Raj, with the Township Attorney. So the property owner actually reached out to us and me with an interest to sell the property to us. It was actually apparently just flooded in these last storms over the summer and was being renovated. It's actually flooded, I think, more frequently over the past few years. And so the township is looking to keep it as open space. It's right next to the Ambrose Brook, and it's actually on the lower level in the floodplain of it. Right by Lake Nelson. So the township is looking to keep it as open space because the property isn't really in a situation where it should be, should have residents in there because it's going to continue to flood. Further, it's also the Medler's Lane, that bridge right there is narrows. So if the township owns that property, it'll give opportunity in the future for the Medler's Lane to be expanded to add bike lanes, et cetera.
If I may, Council President, I went past that house, David, and you'll know it when you pass by it. I'm not sure if Mr. Akins is still on the call on here. I don't see him, but that house is one, that low-lying house, like right across from Lake Nelson. You pass it all the time, and I can understand why the resident was interested in seeing if the town would, purchase it and preserve it for open space. So I can certainly understand it, especially after Ida, of course.
Thank you, Councilwoman Cahill.
Yeah, just to add, the Ambrose Brook actually runs through part of the lot. So, it's pretty much contiguous with the brook as it floods.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Are there anyone else?
Yes, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hi, you basically already answered my question, so I don't need to answer anything. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves.
Hi, yes, Evan Shigathi, you actually answered most of my questions as well. However, I am curious as to what the cost of this property will be. And as you stated, you wish to keep it open space. I was wondering if this would be entered into an open space or similar sort of a preserved property, and if as such the township would be utilizing publicly available funds other than tax funds from the municipality to purchase it. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Thank you.
So I can handle this one. So right now, we can't do any negotiations, anything until we pass this ordinance to allow us to enter into negotiations, obtain an appraisal, et cetera. So we're at this point, we don't know what the value is going to be We're not looking to condemn the property. It's only because the property owner came to us. And so, you know, we're looking to, you know, we'll find out, you know, what the value may be and see if we can come to a price. But, you know, this isn't a guarantee that we're going to purchase the property, but we have to pass this ordinance to even, you know, start the process.
Thank you, Mr. Gumar.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Craig Olmec, 3 Lake Park Drive. I live directly across the brook from the property in question. And I was wondering if, since it's directly contiguous to the rest of Ambrose Stodes County Park, which is the undeveloped county park, would it not be more appropriate for the county to acquire that property? Especially in light of the fact that I'm assuming at some point in the future, the county is going to attempt to expand the Mettler's Lane Bridge to either add bike lanes or appropriate pedestrian walkways, which it currently doesn't have.
Thank you very much.
And that may be an option. Well, you know, we'll look into it, but I don't think it actually is on the county park. There is, I mean, it's part of, I guess, Ambrose Brook. I don't know if that's county-owned property or not, but we'll look into it.
Generally, when there's a county road widening project, such as there could be there, the county doesn't do the property acquisition. They leave it up to the town to acquire it. So that's why it's a good purchase for us now if we can get it, because we'll have it essentially a land bank in case the county does do that extension.
Thank you, Mr. Dacey, for that clarification also.
Council President, there are no other individuals with their hands raised.
We are now closing the public portion for number 9. May I have an offer, please?
Councilman Bullard, offer.
May I have a second?
Councilman Khan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Can you please call the roll?
Councilman Bullard?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Lombardi?
Yes, and the ordinance passes. Number 10 are the consent agenda resolutions. For efficiency, items have been consolidated into a consent agenda to be voted on together. The materials for these items have been distributed to the council in advance of the meeting. At this time, are there any items that the council would like removed from the consent agenda to be discussed or voted on separately? Seeing none, may I have a motion to accept the consent agenda, please?
Councilman Aaron, motion.
May I have a
second?
Second. Mrs. Cedar, can you please call the roll?
Councilman Bullard?
Here.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Lombardi?
Yes, and the consent agenda passed. Number 11 is a resolution, which is the introduction of the calendar year 2022 municipal budget. Ms. Cedar, can you please read that for us?
Municipal budget of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex for the fiscal year 2022. Be it resolved that the following statements of revenues and appropriations shall constitute the municipal budget for the year 2022. Be it further resolved that said budget be published in the Star Ledger in the issue of March 8, 2022. The governing body of the Township of Piscataway does hereby approve the following budget as the budget for the year 2022. Summary of current fund section of approved budget, general appropriations for appropriations within CAPS, municipal purposes, $52,293,674. Appropriations excluded from CAPS, municipal purposes, $24,246,473.67. Total general appropriations excluded from CAPS, $24,246,473.67. reserve for uncollected taxes based on estimated 99.05% of tax collections, $1,814,932.95. Total general appropriations, $78,355,080.62. Less anticipated revenues other than current property tax, $26,284,566.22. Difference amount to be raised by taxes for support of municipal budget, local tax for municipal purposes, including reserve for uncollected taxes, $48,774,112.40. Minimum library tax, $3,296,402.
Thank you, Mrs. Cedar. We'll now move to number 12. Can I have a motion, please?
Motion, Councilman Ballard.
Can I have a second?
Second, Councilman Aaron.
Thank you. Ms. Cedar, can you please call the roll?
Councilman Ballard?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Aaron?
Yes.
Council President Lombardi?
Yes. Number 12 are comments and announcements from officials. Councilman Ballard, do we have any comments?
No real comments. I'm hoping everyone is doing well, you know, you and your families and so forth, and we should be moving soon, hopefully.
Thank you, Mr. Ballard. Councilwoman Cahill.
Just a couple of things. I wanted to mention to those residents who are Catholic out there that we mark today as Ash Wednesday. It's the start of the Lenten season. And I wish to send my well wishes for 40 days of resolve and taking time to pause and spending time with family during this time. And then I'd also like to remind folks that there are a lot of activities going on in town. We have the newsletter and the emails that come out from administration. Notably, there is a breakfast that the Knights of Columbus are having. I do believe it's over in the St. Francis Cabrini lot, but it's not their school anymore. It's the building that used to be their school. They're having a breakfast, and I do believe that it might be this weekend. There's a blood drive going on at the Y, a lot of activities over at the Y, and there also is, for those folks too, like myself, who may have had cancer before, there is an absolutely free exercise program sponsored by Live Strong and the Y that you can sign up for. They do a quick medical release and sort of just a check. They have you come in and make sure you are physically capable of doing it. And you can take that virtually or in person. So that's that. And I would also like to just extend my, deepest thoughts and prayers for those people in the Ukraine, for their families, for loved ones that are lost, and just hope and pray that this comes to a very swift end. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Cahill. Councilman Kahn?
Thank you. I don't have any comments.
Linwood Rouse?
No, I don't have any comments at this time.
Councilman Aaron?
Comment at this time, Council President.
Mayor?
None at this time, Council President.
BA, Mr. Dacey?
So Councilwoman Cahill mentioned the Y and all the things going on over there. The one thing that I would encourage anyone who's interested in putting your child or grandchild into the summer camp, please sign up very quickly. We had a meeting today, and they're at about 80 to 85% capacity ready for the summer. So there's very few slots left. So if you are interested, don't wait too long, please.
Thank you. Township Attorney Raj Gumar.
No comments. Thank you.
And I'll just finish up with a few things. I believe tomorrow, March 3rd, there is a vaccine clinic over at the Y from 3:30 to 5:30. Anybody who does need to get a vaccine or a booster would be eligible for that. I'd like to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day, since we won't be meeting before St. Patrick's Day. And lastly, we are now in March, which is Women's History Month, which provides us an opportunity to honor the generations of trailblazing women and girls who have built their nation, shaped our progress, and strengthened our character as a people. So let's all look into our women's history, and please keep that in mind for the month of March. So I believe that's all I have to say, so we'll now move forward. To the agenda session for the April 12th meeting for 2022. On that session will be a resolution authorizing the 2022 peddler's licenses for various people. Do we have any comments or questions regarding that? Also, a resolution authorizing the refund of a gun permit fee. Any questions? A resolution authorizing the acceptance of a project and release of retainage for Second Avenue Improvements, Phase 1 and Phase 2 for the JADS Construction Company. Any questions regarding that? Seeing none, there will be a resolution authorizing an award of contract for asphalt coring testing for Netherwood Avenue improvements, not to exceed $2,250. Any questions? Seeing none, we'll now move to number 14, which will be the open public portion of the meeting. If you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or if by phone by pressing star 9. When it is your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click the prompt or press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. So anyone wishing to speak during the public comment portion of this meeting, please raise your hand at this time and please remember to state your comments and that you have 3 minutes in which to speak and then we will answer them.
Council President, I'm asking the first individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hi, Ed Marsh, 113 Wyckoff Avenue.
Good evening, Ed.
I'd like to say a few words about historic preservation. Early African-American history dating back to the Revolutionary War is documented at the historic Charles Sudam House, also known as the Miller property, located at the corner of Hose Lane West and River Road across from Old Town. Public records of Revolutionary War claims made by Charles Sudam in 1776 to 1777 indicate the presence of 5 African Americans at the site. It's believed that these claims were the result of a British foraging party raid and subsequent battle or skirmish that occurred on the property in 1777. Some effort should be made to determine if the African Americans are buried at the site. The house still retains an early fireplace and beehive oven in its cellar. It's historic due to its association with the early African Americans. Although there are later additions to the back of the wooden colonial style house, they do not detract from its integrity. Rather, they provide information about the many generations of families that lived there and the social, cultural, and economic changes that occurred. Plans to remove the Beehive Oven would destroy its context. Unfortunately, the publicly owned house has been neglected and is exposed to the elements. However, I believe this historic house should be restored. This will honor the contributions of those gone and preserve a portal to the past. I'd like to know what you think about this.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh.
Welcome. If Council President, if I can comment on that, if I may.
Go ahead.
First of all, Ed, it's I don't see you, but it's good to hear you. I hope you're doing well. I agree with much of what Mr. Marsh said, except for the reality of accomplishing those things. And I've been a big advocate for a long time for that piece of property. And I've been inside the property. So without taking up too much time to give you a brief history of it, the property was privately owned. And at some point, the owners were going to sell it to a developer who was going to take the house down and develop it into a commercial establishment, actually. And we got involved looking into purchasing the property. And at the time, President McCormick, who grew up on River Road, was the president of Rutgers University. And we were able to speak to the mayor and I, Dr. McCormick, and the university bought the property with the hopes of refurbishing it and using it for university purposes. It was a home run. Unfortunately, difficult economic times and other issues at the university, it never got done. And the university owned the property for quite a while, and the place was not taken care of. The place suffered significant amounts of water damage and storm damage. And eventually Rutgers University was going to sell the property and develop it. We purchased the property to save it from development and have looked into various ways of saving and we're improving the property, including discussions with the county. We went into the property shortly after we took the property back from the university. Well, we didn't have to took it from the bought it from the university. We went in there with a contractor engineer. I think Councilwoman Cahill was there. I know the mayor was there. At least one or two other folks from the Historical Society were there. I've seen the Beehive Oven that Ed speaks about. It's fascinating. But I can say that when we went inside the property, I was tremendously disappointed. It was significantly damaged by water and mold. There had been numerous improvements by the Miller family who owned it, were the last owners of it, that had modified not all, but much of the historical content of it. And it would have taken, according to the engineer that was there, several million dollars just to do mold remediation and to do the repairs in the inside. And so we actually looked into whether we could get federal funding, spoke to Congressman Pallone about it, because it is the place. I agree with what Ed said is historically correct. And we're unable to secure funding. And at this point, the property, if you went inside it, is it's sad, quite frankly, the shape that it's in from the weather. But that's the condition we got it from the university. So I don't know what the future will hold for that piece of property. There's been different discussions about ways of saving it or some of it. And I'm an advocate for doing that, whether we'll be able to do it, whether there's the money there to do it, because we're talking probably millions of dollars. I will say the county has an interest in it. Councilwoman Cahill is nodding her head. I know she has an interest in the property, I don't know what the future will be, but it's significantly more complicated and more costly than what you might understand, Ed, and what I understood when I first took a look at it. So I'm sorry I spoke for longer than I meant to. It sounds like a simple issue, but it is an important issue because it is one of the older and more important properties in town. So I appreciate your comments, Ed. I agree with all of them except for whether we can actually do it. So thanks, and it is good to hear from you.
Thank you, Councilman Kahn.
Council President, I'll just add one little thing too, so that Mr. Marsh knows. He may have even known my neighbors at the time before they bought the house over here, and they're now no longer here. They looked to purchase the house and to restore it. And they themselves might have been in better stead, meaning personally with their finances, but they also too went in to buy it. And this may have been even before the university purchased it, if I'm not mistaken. And they brought in their engineer, and they were told millions upon millions. I've had many conversations with the neighbors. You know, we all live over in this area here, so we understand the historical value and nature of preservation. And it, without seemingly a gift of a lot of money coming from either the county, state, or federal funds, it would be a cost that would be a burden unto the taxpayer that could not be bared, not right now, at least.
Without naming who it is, because the person is a private citizen, that person has restored one of the oldest houses in town and spent more money than I could ever spend restoring that piece of property. So they were somebody who was personally dedicated to that issue, and they were disappointed that it was not something that they could undertake. So that may not be the end of the story, but those are the facts, unfortunately, that have gotten us where we are today.
Thank you, everyone, for that clarification.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. Go ahead.
David Aikens, Ambrose Valley Lane. On the corner, South Washington Avenue and Centennial, huge property. They're doing construction back there. Tell me what type of construction they're doing, and I like to be able to go to engineering office and look at those plans.
I don't know about the engineering plans. I'll let Raj answer that, but Council President, if I could just address it. So, Mr. Aikens, and to be clear, they're at the very corner is a piece of property that is not part of the property where the construction is happening. That is happening right behind it. But that very corner lot, I do believe I believe it's owned by a gentleman who I think owns like Speedway or Raceway gasoline stations. But right behind that, where the work is being done, is where the old Avis was.
Yeah, that was the old Avis.
Right. That is now Duke Realty, and they are building a warehouse there, I do believe. And I don't, Raj, I'm assuming that, you know, they've filed the plans with planning. Mr. Aikens is certainly welcome to access those, as anyone in the public would be able to.
Yes, correct.
I don't think the corner property is part of that. Am I right?
Correct. That is the people own it. It's either a Raceway gas station or, I don't know, Speedway, something to that effect. And they still own that. And just to be, you know, completely clear here is we sort of in town have a moratorium really on gas stations, right? There's really none new coming in. And I know that they wanted to put one there. The town is not looking to put a gas station there. So their lot is cleared, but there are no plans for that particular corner lot. at Centennial and South Wash. It's the property right behind where the Avis is. There actually is a traffic light there where you could pull into where the Avis is that is just a little bit, I guess, north of Centennial.
Anyone else?
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves.
Yeah, hi folks. This is Herb Tarbus, 411 New Market Road, Piscataway.
Welcome.
I hope everyone's doing well. You know, as a political activist and system engineer, I took a keen interest in the recent rewarding process that was occurring for the Piscataway Council wards. I'd like to thank Melissa Cedar for her service on that board. She was the seventh member, given her position as a municipal clerk. And she also, I did see that the public notice was posted as required by statute. I attended a January 11th meeting where we were told that there would be a minimum of changes made to the wards of Piscataway. However, just 3 days later, a map was introduced by Commissioner Frankel that was adopted with no public review or comment. And this map moves 18,000 people in Piscataway from one ward to another. In particular, Ward 3 snakes across the township and it wraps around and within 250 yards of the residents of the Ward 2 council person. And then it continues east and inexplicably includes a few blocks, which includes the North Stoughton Firehouse. So it really spreads across town. On February 3rd, we asked the other six ward commissioners about the rationale for the changes, and they said they had no answers for us, which was kind of strange because we had, through a public records request, learned that Commissioner Frankel had developed some talking points to try to justify the changes in Piscataway. But the talking points seemed a bit pretextual in that they talked about combining, you know, communities of interest, which included apartments and condos. And they include the River Road apartments by Middlesex are now in the same ward as the apartments by Ethel Road in Stelton Road, which is 5 miles away. And the reason it doesn't hold water is that there's also apartments, Royal Gardens and Princeton Gardens were separated from Aspen Court, which is directly adjacent. So the idea that there was something going on with this community of interest for apartments seems very pretextual. And at the one of the meetings, Commissioner Katz had said that, you know, if there were going to be changes made to the maps, that the person who would have the best knowledge or input to the local changes would be the municipal clerk. And Melissa was part of this this commission. So I'm just curious to learn if Ms. Cedar was consulted with the construction, the rationale for this third map that was hastily introduced at the very, very last minute. And if she wasn't consulted, if she has any information or knowledge about where the map or what the rationale is for the map in its current form.
Thank you for those comments, Mr. Tarbus.
Hi, Mr. Tarbus, this is Raj Gumar. The Rewarding Commission is a completely independent body. And Ms. Siever, even though she was the municipal clerk, it was acting separately within the independent body. I would request that Ms. Cedar not make any comments as this isn't the proper forum. The Township Council it was not part of those meetings nor that commission, and therefore this isn't the appropriate location to make any comments.
I just want to say one thing if I can. When I started on the Town Council, I was the second ward councilman. I lived in the Possum Town area, which included Mayor Waller's house. He was on East Lincoln, and he still is in the second ward. And nobody asked me, nobody consulted me, nobody spoke to me. I didn't move, but one day I found out that I was not the second ward council person, but the third ward council person. I thought it rather odd that I had lost a huge area and neighborhood, the people that I knew and had a relationship with, and that's just the way it was. And when I asked questions about it, The explanation that I got was that it had to do with demographics and a demographic balance, because there is a requirement to have a certain demographic mix and demographic balance that's as close as possible. I wasn't involved in this process. I saw the maps when everybody else did. I wasn't involved 10 years ago when the maps changed either. I will say the gentleman who Herb, but it is good to hear you, Herb. I haven't seen you in quite a while. I look forward to seeing you at some point. Spoke about is a Republican, and the commission who decides these things is made up equally of Democrats and Republicans. So, and that's by state constitution. So if you go back, I think, and look historically, and I don't go back that far in town, but if you go back historically and look, and you could ask Frank maybe or others who lived in town for their whole lives, the maps have changed significantly. The word lines have changed as the population shifts and change to try and have an equal balance of folks. And of course, we have the university in the middle of town, which has grown tremendously. And the growth of the university has brought new people into town and has changed the population. So I can't explain how this map came about, or can I explain how the one 10 years ago came about either. I just know that from the time I got on 20 years ago, this is the third drawing of the lines. And I suspect 10 years from now, there'll be a different map as well. So, you know, I'm just giving you a little bit of my historical perspective on it.
Thank you, Councilman Khan.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hello, yes, Evan Shigasi again. I just want to thank everyone for their candor in answering my questions earlier. I greatly do appreciate it. I'd like to thank everyone in the community that's partaken in the EMS Advisory Council that is now off the ground and working. I'd like to encourage anyone in the community that would like to be involved to either call in or to watch the meetings. I believe they're both on YouTube and maybe Facebook as well. I'm not really sure, but they should be able to search them out. In addition, I do have one last question that was not brought up. Seeing as though the mask mandate is being dropped for public schools in the township, and as the country as a whole is moving away from mask mandates and in some communities even vaccine mandates, I was wondering what the township plans to do in terms of opening up municipal buildings so that we can access these municipal buildings in the near future and to go to meetings in person. I yield my time. I have nothing further. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Business Administrator Tim Dacey, you want to answer that question, please?
So, Evan, we just found out today, in talking with the superintendent, what they're doing at the end of the month. So we've not had a chance to internally talk about what we're going to do. So we're going to be tackling that the next several days.
Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Good evening, Madam President. Charlie Cradiville.
Good evening.
So you know me by now. I'm the editor of New Brunswick Today, a community newspaper available online at newbrunswicktoday.com. I also wanted to follow up on Mr. Tarbus's questions. He mentioned a number of 18,000 residents that were shifted from one ward to another. Can you please have the clerk specify how many residents are now in a different ward by virtue of the decision to adopt that map?
Are you done with your questions?
No, I would like to ask follow-up questions after I get the answer to that one.
Please state all your questions, and then we'll answer them after you're done.
Okay. With all due respect, I got to point out that this is a rather cowardly way for the council to avoid a dialogue with the public. Every other town I go to, I can ask a question, get an answer, and ask an informed follow-up question. But you're attempting to take advantage of this situation where you're on the Zoom meetings and avoid a dialogue. So I'll let you know that I would like to know how many thousands of residents and voters are going to be changed from one ward to another, and why Ms. Cedar voted for that to happen I also want to clarify, did Mr. Kahn say that Herb Tarbus is a Republican? Because if so, he should correct the record. I have in front of me the voter registration records. And
Herb is not a Republican.
He's a Democrat.
He's at least a Democrat. He may be more than a Democrat, but no, I said that Mr. Frankel, who is the chairman of the Board of Elections, is a Republican, who he seemed to be criticizing when he spoke, Charlie, and that the Board of Elections, who made up this map, is equally made up of Democrats and Republicans. Herb, I know for a fact, has never voted Republican in his life. Am I right, Herb?
Okay, let's let him ask his questions.
Yeah,
so we can get his answer.
I appreciate you setting that record straight, but unfortunately, the part about Mr. Frankel, I don't believe is correct. He has represented the Democratic Party on that board for decades. He may act like a Republican sometimes, but he is most definitely the Democrat representative on there. And I'm deeply concerned about the role that he played in concocting this map that was foisted on the public without any chance to review or provide input. This was done in a shady, undemocratic way. And I hope that you will join me in calling for Mr. Frankel to resign from that board. I also want to raise concerns about the whistleblower in the police department who has not one but two lawsuits against the township now. Why is it that the township refused to allow the whistleblower's disciplinary hearing to be recorded? Is it that you did not want a record of what took place there or what was about to take place there if that disciplinary hearing moved forward? And, you know, I keep having to bring it up, but why hasn't the mayor, being the public safety director, made any comments about the lawsuit against the department or about the fact that PPD's records have been held ransom for nearly 4 years? And why hasn't anyone commented on the computer crime committed by ex-PPD dispatcher Ronald B. Jones, who had to spend some time behind bars for his crime? I don't understand why there's no one taking leadership or ownership of this situation. It seems there's a lot of scandal swirling around the Piscataway Police Department and no one stepping up to give answers. I mean, I've read
thank
the
you,
reports.
Mr. Cradiville. Thank you,
Can
Mr.
You
Cradiville.
Thank you.
We thank you very much for all of your comments, and we'll refer that to our township attorney.
Yeah, in regard to your comments requesting inquiries to the township clerk, again, I remind you that this is not the rewarding commission. This is the township council. This is not an opportunity to interrogate our clerk in regard to any actions that were taken by an independent commission. This is not the appropriate venue. And the clerk is not here to provide information regarding a independent commission that was made up by Democrats and Republicans. In regard to Mr. Cradiville, I know you and me have gone back and forth on disputing facts, but I will say that I don't think there's any scandals going on in the police department. Of course, there is litigation, and I request the council not to make any comments. And of course, the township would never actually does not make any comments on pending litigation.
Thank you, Mr. Gamache.
Right, Charlie, whoever you got the information from regarding the hearing was incorrect information that you have, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Good evening, everyone. How you doing? This is Ralph Johnson, 39 East Burgess Drive.
Good evening.
Happy March. Councilwoman Lombardi, thank you for opening the doors to Women's History Month and all the contributions to history, culture, and society. So I thank you for that. I'm also obviously disappointed that Black History Month is over. I think contributions should be going year round.
Hey, it's our turn.
And I'm glad that we can show people we can have good civil discourse, and that's a good thing. So thank you, Ms. Lombardi, for smiling and laughing. I did have a question. I'm quite sure the council was aware that AT&T 3G sunsetted about a week ago, a little bit less than a week ago, and it was glaring concerns for our elderly community, which thrives here. They will remind you very fast that we're a very active community. So one of the concerns I had was that the township look into the safety concerns or provide services for our elderly community, because with the sunset of 3G, some people didn't move into 5G, and we're looking at, you know, emergency devices, medical aids equipment, alarms, you know, medical alerts, a lot of challenges that some of our elder community not be able to transfer over to. So I was wondering if anyone the council can talk about it. Did we look into that? Were there major concerns for the shutdown? Were our elder community protected? And anyone can answer.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Is that all you have? Is that your only question for this evening?
Yes, I hope everyone just, you know, be safe.
Thank you very much. Thank you for those concerns, and we will look into that. Mr. Dacey, do we have any comments regarding that issue?
I did reach out to the government affairs representatives from the cable, wireless, and Verizon, and discussed it with them, and there did not seem to be to think that there was as much issues as some of the people had written about. Most of the providers had upgraded their services over the past couple of years. So I was not led to believe that it was that big of an issue as some people were writing about. And the mayor's office got absolutely no calls from anybody on it.
And maybe we could just check in to see if anyone called over to the senior center, maybe. Anyone else?
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Good evening. It's Stacey Berger again, 233 Ellis Parkway. In addition to the questions I asked previously, which I appreciate Ms. Lombardi being willing to answer at now what I think is the appropriate time, I did review the ordinances during the discussion, and it appears on the, and I'm sorry for that because it was buried in page 2 of 17. I just didn't see it. It says you're exceeding the municipal budget appropriations and establishing the cap bank. So if you could, in addition to addressing the questions I previously asked about the stipends, maybe someone could just explain why there's a 1% increase. It just says here, in the interest of promoting the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens, which I think we can all agree is a very important role and responsibility of the council. If anyone could just elaborate on what the specific health, safety, and welfare issues are that require that increase, I think everyone would love to hear that. I also wanted to address a couple of other issues, and since you have requested we all ask our questions in advance, I want to be responsive and respectful for that. So I hope you'll all join me in congratulating Piscataway voters for adopting the tape ordinance, which took effect last month. Kudos to the PCTV and the municipal staff who've been working to implement the ordinance in accordance with the law. We appreciate it. As you know, voters in our community adopted the tape ordinance by a landslide margin of over 70% last November, after residents, including myself, collected more than enough signatures to place the binding referendum on the ballot, and the council's referendum, non-binding referendum, was denied by the judge. I understand that you've all appealed that case at taxpayer expense, which is curious, since the election has already happened. But I've seen that the notices for the dates and times of the planning and zoning board meetings are available on the website, but the agendas and the content of the items to be discussed and voted on don't seem to be posted on the website in advance of the meeting as required by the ordinance. If somebody could please clarify if those are being posted somewhere else and I'm just not seeing them, or explain why they're not being posted and shared as required by law. Also, if you could please include the new communications and engagement tools for those meetings in the weekly email that goes out with the community updates that Mrs. Cahill mentioned earlier. I've heard from quite a few folks they were unaware that these virtual meeting options exist, and they don't know that the meetings were being broadcast on PCTV. So it would be great to make sure that everyone is aware of those things. And last, I'm wondering if there's any update on the cable franchise agreement that was set to expire at the end of 2021. I'm sure the council and the mayor used that agreement process, or I hope that you would have, to secure improvements for our residents to have more reliable internet service, which is something I think we all can agree our community desperately needs.
So any updates on that would be appreciated as well. So that's in addition to the questions I had asked earlier about the stipend. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for all of your questions, and hopefully we can get them answered for you.
Council President, I thought I did answer her question about the temporary budget, but I will re-answer it because it may have been...
Yeah, it was a little tough hearing you in the beginning.
Okay, so we don't adopt our budget until we get our state aid numbers. So that gives us two issues that you deal with. Generally, you're not allowed to adopt your budget until April because the state aid numbers come out in March. So every municipality for January, February, March, and April runs on a temporary budget. I think Stacy knows that. This is how our government works in New Jersey. So when you're running on a temporary budget, you pay your bills, you pay your salaries, you pay your stipends, you pay your health insurance bills, you pay your electricity bills, the same as you would pay as if you had a full budget. We break the budget into a monthly amount, and that's what we put in the temporary budget. So January gets 1/12 of last year's budget, February gets 1/12, et cetera. So because we're on a temporary budget, there's no change in the way we pay our employees or that we pay our bills. So she can rest assured the people who are looking to get paid, and our vendors get paid, and everybody gets paid. The CAP Bank, again, this is issue part two with the state. Since we have to start the adoption of our budget before the state produces their budget, what we do is we take advantage of what you're allowed to do because we're uncertain as to by the amount of state aid that we're going to get. So the state allows us to pass the CAP Bank ordinance, which has to be done before you begin the budget process. So that's why every January, this is on our agenda. We pass it every year, but we have never used it. It just gives us a little extra room in case we have a tremendous snowstorm on March 15th, in case the governor cuts the state aid, or if there's flooding, and all of a sudden we need to put more money into our budget. You need to do this before the budget process, because once the budget process starts, you can't change that. So that's the idea of the CAP Bank. We do pass it, but we never use it. The issues with the agendas, nobody has brought that to my attention. I believe that they've been up there, but I will check on that. And our cable agreement expires not at the end of 2021, it expires at the end of 2023. And we're looking at that right now.
Council President, I just add, because I think at the last meeting, I happened to mention something about that. So we have been monitoring a case that was one, I do believe it was in West Virginia, where Altice, who owns Cablevision in our area, they own other cable companies in other areas. They are out of the Netherlands. They were sued due to the same reasons, lack of service or lesser service. And we've been speaking to the Board of Public Utilities about what is New Jersey going to do to get Altice in line with what they should be providing to residents. And we are working with folks there to try to resolve these issues. It has been an ongoing conversation. We speak to the governmental representative at least once a quarter, who I think maybe one of the last meetings, Tim, last year we talked about the splitting of nodes, and those were some of the things that Cablevision really, you know, Altice was doing to help improve. There's obviously still a lot of improvement to go, but we don't have that definitive answer as to what they're going to do next or how they're going to get to that best kind of service. As Tim mentioned, our contract expires in 2023. I'm sure as a municipality, we all would like to have competitors come into the area. We were hoping Verizon would come through with Fios. They sort of stopped those plans. Some information I know about that, it has to do with my job, and I'm probably not really privy to explain why they stopped, but that was across really all of New Jersey, where especially in older neighborhoods. So We are on it. It's always, unfortunately, behind the scenes and a slow-going process, but this mayor, the administration, clearly myself, have been on top of the governmental liaison over there at Cablevision, following up with what they're doing to improve. And ultimately, you know, looking at, will we be added on to maybe some litigation against Altice here in New Jersey? But we are working with the BPU on that. Sorry, it took up too much time.
Thank you, Mrs. Kahl. I know you've been staying on top of that for us.
The Telecommunications Act of 1996 really limited municipalities on what they can try to get from cable companies. That really took, in the beginning with the cable agreements in the late 70s through the 80s, towns could ask for, you know, a dozen roses every week and whatever else they wanted. And the cable companies generally gave it to them. But once the Telecommunications Act passed Congress, very, very much limited the amount that we can ask for. And we are working with the BPU and talking to other towns also.
Maybe we'll all drop them and that'll wake them up, you know? I mean, we can all, but you know what I mean.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hi, Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road. I was wondering if there were any results from the fire commissioner election. I was kind of disappointed to see the town didn't really encourage anyone to vote. I know it was mentioned during the last council meeting, but I'm sure you're aware there's a small number of people that attend those meetings versus the entire population of Piscataway. I guess I was also wondering, are you working with the T-Mobile and Verizon to actually encourage 5G adoption here? I know I'd been on a couple of zoning board meetings where Verizon was trying to upgrade to 5G and they were being told no because there's some sort of easement issue with the landlord. And it just seems like you're making it hard to work with the town over stuff like that, which seems like an easy run around the Altice Optimum issues. That's all I had, thanks.
I'm going to only make one comment with regard to that, because I am on planning board, is that Verizon and T-Mobile and, you know, most any other cellular provider, their antennas live on property owned by other people. And when someone comes before planning or zoning and they need a variance, we have township ordinances in place. Now, it is incumbent upon a renter, or let's say somebody who leases space, to either bring the landlord with them, work with the landlord to comply, unless there is reasonable distress. But in this town, and I'm sure Mr. Akins can attest to this, that Verizon, you know, when they used to have that one location, you know, kind of did is what they wanted. And that's not what we want. So there are ordinances in places. We do not make it difficult for businesses to operate in this town. We ask businesses to respect our residential ordinances. And if you're coming to a planning board meeting and you're seeing somebody like a Verizon or a T-Mobile trying to get something done, and they don't want to either give up an easement, which, by the way, say, you know, if they don't want to give up land, which is a lot of times that we ask, that's for sidewalks, by the way, it's not just to give up land, that is to save taxpayer dollars. And so what we do in this town is where we believe in a walkable town. It has been from way before my time, a push from former council member Camille Fernicola, who then became a freeholder, which is now commissioner. And those ordinances are there to protect the residents. It is really incumbent upon Verizon, whoever comes before us, to either make sure the landlord's in agreement with those ordinances, which they are well aware of, and they know why they're coming before us. But there are times when we can work with those clients where it's not a stress on the residents, but there are times when, we've had, the same company come in time and time again, asking for something, just thinking that if they keep asking us, that all of a sudden we'll just change our mind and give them what they want. And that's just not how we work. We have to be, we have to follow our ordinances and only where it makes sense, grant variances, quite frankly. They're making a lot of money. And certainly if they don't have the right to give up an easement, they need to work with the landlord, the landowner, to provide that to the town. And that, in essence, saves our taxpayers lots of dollars.
Thank you, Mrs. Kay.
This is Town Attorney for Roger. Just on the comment about the fire commission elections, as of probably the day before yesterday, and I haven't checked yet to confirm, but the election results were not certified or published. So we don't know exactly what the results were. There is a potential rumor that one of the district's budgets did not pass. I've already had a preliminary conversation anticipating those results with the one of the attorneys for the fire commissioners, and we'll be working with them moving forward. But until we have certified results, we can't take any action.
Thank you, Mr. Gumar.
There are no other individuals with their hands raised.
I'll now close the public portion of the meeting and move to number 15, which is an adjournment. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening, and thank you, everyone, for calling in.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Goodbye.